You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome, Gateway Church. We're coming around the Word of God today. And, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. But I'm going to focus on the first part of that this morning. A cheerful heart is good medicine. And I'm going to give you some great medicine this morning. It is in the form of a joke, because I do believe that even though we are in serious times, I want to take moments to find joy, because it's like medicine to our souls in this season. So, they said a mask and gloves were enough to go to the supermarket. They lied. Everyone else had clothes on. So you might be laughing, I can't hear you, but when I heard that joke, I laughed. And a merry heart does a good like a medicine. You might be thinking, where is a cheerful heart at the moment? For me, as a parent with children doing online school, the medicine for me is when I see my children asleep at night. That gives me a merry heart. Does that give you a merry heart at the moment, parents? I'm sure it does. We're going to come around the Word of God. We're so glad that you could come and watch with us this morning, that you're coming to church with us. And I want to speak about the love of God. The love of God that is yours. The love of God that is yours to experience. And it says in the book of Jeremiah, verses 31 to 3, the Lord appeared from of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you. You know, God draws you with his loving kindness, and he continues to show his faithfulness to us all. That's a promise that we can be confident in this morning. The God's love is for you to experience. God's love is for you to know personally this morning. I heard this incredible story, and since hearing this story, it's just had so much impact upon my mind and upon my heart. And I want to share this story with you this morning. It talks about a young boy called Brennan Manning. And it's about his fourth birthday party. And this is the first party that his mother had ever let him have. It was the 1930s at the time. And his mother said he could have a birthday party, but he wasn't to invite any other children. He could only just come to the birthday party, and she would invite her own friends, being adults, to the party. You see, he never knew a moment of love from his mother. He never knew what it was to be hugged or embraced or kissed or told that he was a good boy. His mother was a registered nurse, and when she came home from work to the apartment, he was all alone. You think he was a three-year-old little boy turning four alone in an apartment all day while his mother is working. When she would come home, he would naturally, as a child, run to his mother, throw his arms around her. And instead, her reaction would be to push him away. It wouldn't be to respond to his embrace. It wouldn't be to respond to cuddle him. It would push him aside, and she would say to him, go sit in the corner. You're a nuisance. You're a pain. Get away from me. One day, his mother came home early from work, and she found her little boy, 4 years of age, playing with her jewelry in her bedroom. And she just completely reacted in this situation, and she screamed to him, God is going to get you for that. God is going to get you good. You see, his mother was behaving like the God she imagined. His mother was reacting like the God she perceived. So the birthday party began, and instead of children, his mother invited three couples, their friends. They came and they hadn't seen him since his infant baptism. So naturally, they came in and they swooped him up and they hugged him and embraced him and told him what a gorgeous little boy that he was, kissing him and saying how wonderful it is to see him. And naturally, in this moment, he was like a sponge and he was just receiving all this affection, receiving all these kind, gentle, loving words. As soon as his mother saw him responding to that love, responding that to attention, well, naturally she just shut it down and said, "It's so disgusting. How can you bring so much shame upon me when my friends are here?" He recalls a time being 8 years of age where he was beaten and hit so badly from his mother, he actually can recollect no memories from the ages of 8 to 16. So here we are. They're at his birthday dinner. His father is sitting at one side of the table and he was sitting at the other end. And he had one of these little birthday hats on. You know, the one with the cone bottom, the triangle top and the little elastic that goes around your chin. And it was incredible because wearing this hat, everybody talked to him differently. Everybody greeted him differently. They even listened to the words that came out of his mouth. And then later, as the lunch was going on for his birthday, somebody had arrived late. And when this man came in and saw me with my birthday hat on, he didn't say hello to anybody else. He didn't stop to greet anybody. He came straight over to me, Brennan says. And he swooped me up in my arms and he kissed me on the forehead. He kissed me on the cheek. He embraced me. And just in that moment where he put him down, he said he looked at me for 20 seconds. He paused, he focused in and he said these words to me. He said, "Your eyes are so brilliant. You're such a bright little boy. You're very intelligent and you've got a heart of deep feeling for hurting people. You're going to have a wonderful life. Brennan, you're going to have a wonderful life." Then he started to really act out. All this attention was so completely overwhelming because as a four-year-old child, he'd been completely starved of affection, starved of any type of relationship that was normal and healthy. And he grabbed onto this man that had spoken such rich words into his soul. And as a four-year-old child, he just didn't want to let him go. And then his mother said to him, "Why do you insist on shaming me, Brennan? Your party's over. Go to your bedroom and close the door." He marched to his bedroom. He never hesitated, and standing in his bedroom, it was pitch black because he wasn't tall enough to put the light switch on. And in this dark place, in this alone space, he started to cry. Being absolutely afraid, humiliated, understanding the power of this rejection, this abandonment, and all the while his father being present, but never saying anything in his defense. In that moment, he had a strong sense that there was no one there for him, and the tears started to flow and flow like a river. He got into the bed and he had that thought come to him, "If my mother comes into my room, she's going to want to take that birthday hat for me. And I don't want her to take that birthday hat from me. Maybe I should hide it." And he started to feel guilty about doing that to his mother. He just realized how much that birthday hat actually meant to him at the age of 4. With that birthday hat on, all he knew was that people talked to him. All he knew was that people gave him affection and saw him for the first time. He thought, if I could just wear that birthday hat for the rest of my life, oh, what a picnic, long green life it would be. So he wanted to hide it. And in that moment of darkness, in that moment of stillness, in that moment of emptiness, clutching onto the only thing that identified relationship for his life, he heard these words. A birthday hat. A birthday hat that's on you right now, Brennan. No one will ever take my birthday hat from you that I give to you. No one will ever tear you from my hand, Brennan. And I knew that it was God speaking to me. I was instantly flooded with this peace that was all around me. And all that fear and all that feeling of being alone melted as I heard the words of my Heavenly Father. You see, a birthday hat, it can wear out. It can diminish over time. It can be lost. It can be stolen, misplaced. But let me tell you that the love that identifies you today, that you are a son to our Father in heaven, that love can never wear out. That love can never be taken away. That love can never be misplaced. That love is with you wherever you go. It cannot diminish because his love is eternal. Romans says it the best in chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And I am convinced, verse 38 says, I am convinced, Paul says, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. It's not even our fears today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Church, do you hear me? It's neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. Verse 39 says it, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed. Hear me, church, that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God, church, is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, his mother was behaving like the God she imagined. His mother was reacting like the God she had perceived. It's so easy in these moments to sum up and judge a person there by their behavior, not understanding of what life looked like for them in their past before they became a mother. For his mother was born in Montreal, Canada. And at the age of 3, both of her parents died in a flu epidemic which killed over 100,000 people in Montreal. His mother wound up in an orphanage which he later, as an adult, visited and said it was a wicked, wicked, cruel place. His mother never experienced any love as a child. She only experienced the hand of the nuns in the orphanage. She was in that orphanage for 10 years to at 14 years of age. She later became adopted, starved of love, starved of conversation, starved of any type of relationship or nurture. It's so easy to judge. It's so easy to perceive. But even God says when we don't know him, he has already loved us. When we don't even have relationship with him, the Bible says that he already loves us. He has already forgiven us. You see, relationship with God saves us from every single burden that keeps us separated from God. It gives us a future. It gives us a hope. That's what having a relationship with God is. It releases every burden that would try and separate His peace, His goodness, His love, His mercy from us. And God's love is rich in mercy. It's rich in compassion. And God's love is for you today. Even if you don't know God yet, let me tell you, friend, God loves you already. In Luke chapter 7, we see this incredible story. And let's look at verse 37. There was this woman in a town, and she was known to the whole town as a sinful woman, as a sinner. And this one particular day, Simon had invited Jesus over for lunch, and this woman had heard that Jesus was going to be at this lunch. So what she did is that she made herself present, kneeling and standing right behind Jesus. She came there with a little necklace around her neck, with a little perfume bottle, which was custom in those days. And as she stood behind him, she began to weep. As she stood in the love and the compassion and the mercy of Jesus, it was so overwhelming to her life, to her soul, that she began to cry at his feet. So much so that as the tears started to flow, the tears started to wet the feet of Jesus. And as they wet the feet of Jesus, she took her hair and she wiped her tears off of his feet. Then she took out that little jar of perfume that was around her neck, and upon his feet, she poured that perfume, that sweet smelling perfume. In verse 39, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet. You need to imagine this here right now. Simon is not speaking out aloud. Simon is speaking to himself. He's judging Jesus. He's judging this woman and saying, if this man, Jesus, was really a prophet, he would know what type of woman she is, that she is a sinner. In verse 40, I love how Jesus answers as Simon. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Then Jesus turned towards the woman and said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? Come on, Simon, I know what you think she's like. I know what you see about her. But Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them from her hair. You did not give me a customary kiss, Simon, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. But remember the words of Jesus, whoever has been forgiven much loves much. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do you know what Jesus was saying to that woman? It was her faith. Do you know what faith is, church? Is that despite of our circumstances, despite of what we think separates us from the presence of Jesus, faith is clinging to Jesus, irregardless of the things that we think could separate us from him. She clung to him. She poured her tears upon him. She wiped his feet and perfumed his feet. She clung to him. Everybody else had their perception. Everybody else had their judgment. But in spite of the judgment, in faith, she clung to Jesus wholeheartedly. That's what faith is, church. no matter how big the issue is, and the issue is relevant. But no matter how big that issue is, faith is clinging to God, who is greater than your issue, because peace wants to enter into your life. Your faith, your reliance, your trust has saved you, woman. Go in peace. Who gets to determine who is shown love by God? Simon? How do we determine God's love for us? In 1 John 4:10, it says this: this is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. He loved us long before we loved him. In this season, we're having to navigate a completely new trail. I think for all of us at the moment, we are pioneers. Online school, frontline workers. There are so many things that are new that we're having to navigate in this season. The virus, people who are dying around us, fear that is all around us. In this time, hear me this morning, you will need to find rest. You will need to rest in the loving arms of your Savior. But we must know, church, that we can rest without guilt. Let me say that one more time. We need to know that we can rest with Jesus in his love without guilt. People have said in this time, my routine is not the same, and I haven't been reading my Bible as much, and I don't feel as close to Jesus. They're out of their step with their usual routine and practice. And when we feel far away from God, do you sometimes feel that the guilt starts to rise? Rest without guilt. Hear me. Rest without guilt this morning. You are never far away from the Father's love. He will reveal himself to you all the time. If there's something that you need him to hear, don't you think that his message will become clear in your ears? Don't you believe that he will reveal what his Father needs to say to you? It's not dependent on your works. It's not dependent on what you do. He loved you before you ever loved him. We need to experience God's love without works getting in the way and creating distance that was never created by him, but can be created by our own thinking and the ways we sometimes perceive God to be. Romans 8, we see it again in verse 38 and 39. It says it again. There is nothing in our present. Hear this, there is nothing in our present or our future circumstances that can weaken his love for you and I. Oh, but I missed my Bible reading for 2 days in a row. There is nothing in our present or our future circumstances that can weaken his love. His love is not distance. His love is always present. His love is always kind. There is no power that could ever be found that can distance us from God's passionate love. Why? This is good news this morning. Because let me tell you, son and daughter of the living God, every time God looks at you, he sees his son Jesus. And every time he sees Jesus in you, he is well pleased. You are a delight and a gift and a joy to his life. For too many times, Christians spend too much time looking at their flesh, everything of their inadequacies, of what they don't do, of how they don't measure up. Let me tell you, God does not see your flesh. He sees his son. And when he sees his son in you, he loves you. So here's my word. Stop concentrating on your flesh and concentrate on the one who lives and dwells and resides within you. He has made your heart his home and his dwelling place. We know God is holy, but do we know God is love? Come on. We know God is holy, but do we know God is love? Romans 8:1 says this, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation, my friends, in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is where we get tripped up on this verse. Every time that we don't think we're measuring up, every time that we're doing something wrong, we straight away devalue who Jesus is inside of us and put ourselves in a place of where we're living in the flesh. You don't live according to the flesh anymore. You live according to the Spirit of Jesus Christ who is in you. And I can prove this with the word, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who lives anymore. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, listen to this, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, clinging on, trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Church, it is no longer you who lives anymore. It's Jesus who lives in you. And Matthew 22:37 says this, Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is where as Christians, we can get tripped up again. Well, I haven't loved the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul and all my mind. Hang on a second. You have the mind of Christ. You're not loving God with your own natural abilities, with your own mind. Because Christ lives in you, you have the mind of Christ. When you love your heavenly Father, you do it with Jesus inside of you who has the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ this morning, and that's how you love your Father. God's love is lavish. 1 John 3:1 says this, look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. God's love is tender. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God's love is restorative. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. You know, 7 years later, for Brennan Manning, he's no longer a four-year-old in this story. He's now a 41-year-old man, and he has another incredible encounter with the words of Jesus. And he heard this same identical words at 41 that he heard at age four. After a year of living in the gutter of Fort Lauderdale, and a life of utter shame, he describes, utter degradation, a life of theft, a life of greed, and a life of utter self-absorption. Two friends found me that recognized me and got me out of the gutter and into a rehab center. You know, the usual stay, 28 days, turned into 4 months due to the alcohol condition that had advanced. You know, in the first month of being there, he never even attempted to pray because he was so covered with guilt and with self-condemnation and indescribable shame, self-hate, that was consuming. And it was a Monday on the fifth week there. And he went outside the facility and sat down on the park bench and made this feeble attempt at prayer. I said, Jesus, I've wandered so far from you. You said, if you love me, keep my word. I haven't loved you. I haven't kept your word. You paid this ultimate price for me and I've swapped it for a life of drinking. God, I'm so sorry. And like a bell sounding deep within my soul, I heard a voice from within. Jesus Christ spoke to me and said the same identical words at 41 that he spoke to me at 4. He said, don't bother me with that stuff. Don't bother me with that stuff. Now come over and play. Come over and let my love immerse you. Come over and let me hear your words so that you can hear my words. Don't bother me with that stuff. Just come over here and be with me. Don't we hear these same identical words in the Word of God with the story of the prodigal son? This is the account of the father and the wayward son who took off with his inheritance, spent it all, left his whole family early, and then when a famine hit, realized he was in great need and had to make his way home. We see this, that God wants us to experience his love. Church, this morning, God wants you to experience his love. And we see this in Luke chapter 15, verses 20. It says, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out and his father embraced his son. He kissed him and the son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes, dress him. Put the family ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, and let's have a big roast dinner. We're going to feast, everyone. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead, and now I've found him alive. Given up for lost, and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Don't bother me with that stuff. Just come over here with me. Today, will you let Jesus be who he really is? He's not only holy, he is love, and he wants you to experience his love. Today, will you let Jesus be who he really is and all that he can be in your life? You know, this morning, you might not know Jesus as your friend. You might not know about this peace and this love that I've been talking to you about today. But did you realize, friends, today that if you are searching for a God that is real, if you are searching for a God that loves you, you can find him in Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen to those words. How easy, how readily it is to receive the love and the relationship of Jesus Christ. No longer to be separated from his peace. Friend, no longer to be separated from his precious words that will heal you, console you, comfort you, and lead you. All the Bible says, if you just declare with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, and I believe in my heart, God, that you raised your son from the dead, You see, Jesus died on a cross for you. He took every burden. He took every affliction. He took every trauma. He took every hurt and pain so that you could experience peace, that you could experience the love of God, that trauma might be a part of your life, but it is not your whole life. You can get to the other side because of Jesus saving you, because of Jesus rescuing you, and Jesus who wants you to experience His love. Friend, if that's you this morning and you want to receive Jesus into your heart, as a church, we're going to pray this simple prayer, and I invite you to pray this prayer with us and no longer to be separated from God's love. Let us just close our eyes and bow our heads in this moment as we experience this incredible love that is flowing into our lives. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Today, Jesus, I want to say that You are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Can you believe how readily it can be to receive the love of Jesus Christ? Confessing that He is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised His Son from the dead, that you could experience this incredible love. Well, friend, today, if you have made that decision for the first time, this is just the start. It's just the beginning of your journey. And I want to be able as a church to equip you with the precious Word of God. All these scriptures I've been saying, that's in the Bible. And He wants to reveal this love to you through His Word. There is incredible worship songs that you can sing along to. And so if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, you can come along that journey with us at church, and we can give you resources, we can chat with you, and we can help you in any questions that you have.